out every time we screen it.
Mildred patted Doc on the back as his hopes of a musical comedy were swiftly being dashed upon the unyielding rocks of commerce.
Most disturbing. When was this film made?
The ticket salesman paused for a moment and closed his eyes, as if accessing a bank of data files stored on the hard drive of his brain.
Dawn of the Dead, 1979 pre-doc calendar, a Laurel production, a United Film distribution release, full color, run-in time of 126 minutes uncut, or significantly shorter in the cable edit. And who the fuck wants to see the censored version anyway? So it doesn't count.
A full 2 hours plus. Not bad.
It was written, directed, and edited by the great George A. Romero, who also gave us Stephen King's Creepshow, Martin, Day of the Dead, and many other fine horror pictures. Cinematography by Michael Gornick, music by The Goblins with Dario Argento, sequel to the classic Night of the Living Dead, which is pretty good, but it's in black and white. And the only version I've seen was fuzzy as hell, so the blood and guts looked all fake.
For Christ's sake, I can see this kind of crap for real on an all-too-regular basis in Deathlands. Why would I want to go to a movie and pay good money to experience it?
Oh, come on, Millie. There's nothing else better to do.
Aren't you showing anything else?
Lady, at this moment, we only have 4 movies in complete enough condition to screen. Dawn of the Dead, Mannequin 2 on the Move, Spy Hard, and Escape from New York. This theater rotates them on a monthly basis. Every once in a while, I'll pull out chunks of other films I've spliced together from stray film cans just so we can offer something different. But most of our customers want a complete show, and I can't blame them. Plenty enough vids with a beginning, middle, and end to keep their interest at home. We have to try and make coming to a movie theater a special experience.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. Huh, Doc?
My dear Dr. Wyeth, whatever do you mean?
Well, back in the 50s, television nearly ran movie theaters out of business. Producers had to come up with all kinds of gimmicks and sensationalism to keep attendance levels high. Wide screens, surround sound, fake insurance policies sold at the door in case you or a loved one dropped dead of fright while watching the film.
Sounds like a sideshow to me.
Show business is show business. Until the advent of home video in the late 70s, the movie industry had become a mere ghost of what it had been. Once home vid players came into vogue, there was money all around. Financially, a profit could be made not only on tickets sold, but also on vid rights, cable, network television rights, and so on.
I think I understand. Here we are, 100 plus years since the last films or videos were produced.
And yet the entertainment wars live on. Exactly.
So, we going or not?
Mildred rubbed her forehead and then looked at the fellow manning the ticket booth.
Ugh. This place sell popcorn?
While Mildred, Doc, and JB were preparing to enjoy a movie, Ryan, Jack, and Christy were on duty in the small sec headquarters in the back of the mall. Ryan stood alone with a techie monitoring the surveillance screens when the monitor board in the sec room suddenly burst into vibrant color. Ryan scanned the monitors and glanced at the techie in the blue jumpsuit, who frowned at the screens.
What the fuck is that?
Motion sensors. We got intruders up on the roof.
Show me.
The techie tapped into the same vid system that Ryan had seen earlier in Morgan's administrative office. 2 screens lit up, and what they revealed was smoke and flame.
Roof's on fire. You think the stickies are using another catapult?
Don't see how. There's been nothing on the group level outside within the sex circle.
Muties must be behind this somehow.
Probably so. Both ends of the mall roof are showing movement. How they got on the roof is anybody's guess. We only got cameras for this side. I don't know if the other section's been lit up or not.
Rollins strode into the room, glowering, his eyes immediately going to the monitors.
What's with the alarm?
We've got company. Look for yourself.
Shit. Fire. I hate fires.
Has to be stickies.
Nah, let's take a look. You get the 2 of yours, and I'll alert 2 of mine. We'll go up and wreck on this side. I'll alert a team on the other side of Freedom to check their end as well.
Got it.
Rollins' men were already waiting when he and Ryan exited the monitor room. The 4 men raced down the access hallway, picking up Christy and Jack on the way. Like Ryan, both of his friends already had their hardware in hand, with Christy holding her .38 caliber Smith & Wesson, and Jack his huge .357 Colt Python with the 6-inch barrel.
What's with the parade?
Visitors. Set off the motion sensors on the roof.
The narrow workman's stairwell to the roof was dimly lit with red bulbs, making the curving metal stairs look like the intestines of a volcano. When they came out of the elevated trapdoor entrance onto the rooftop, the group split into two parties. Ryan kept Christy and Jack. Rollins took his own pair of trained men. This decision was made wordlessly and without conscious thought. Each man wanted his own crew backing him up. Ryan could respect that. Rollins swung open the door and carefully leaned his head out, letting his eyes adjust to the scene. As far as the eye could see, from the protection of the small, freestanding doorway of the roof-level stairs access, fires were burning in patches. Ryan glanced at Jack.
Smell it?
Some kind of fuel.
Rollins and one of his men moved a bit closer. The big sec man scowled at the roof.
Flammable liquids. They've sprayed the roof and lit it up somehow. How in the hell did they do that?
Must have a really long hose.
Well, the fires I can see. Let's try finding who set them. Maxwell, you got the hardware?
Yes, sir.
What is that you're holding?
It's an image intensifier, Mr. Carter. Thought we could use it to see what was on the ground, and I... Oh, hang on. I'm getting some ground movement. They look too damn far away to have done this, though.
Those were the last words the sec man ever said. The oversized image intensifier Maxwell held to his eyes disintegrated into a cloud of plastic shards, and his face immediately followed. Jack raised his big Colt and fired into the darkness overhead.
Up above!
How?
Christy finally realized what Jack was aiming at. A sticky was indeed overhead, hanging from the tubing of a makeshift glider like an evil, diseased bat. She could see the mutie's pale face as the craft swooped around, diving again for another pass. More of the flammable liquid sprayed from an oversized plastic bag apparatus caused a new burst of flame to shoot into the air. A side effect of this action was to bring the glider and the mutie into fully lit focus. The bullets riddled the sticky, and it went limp in the harness of the flying machine. Without the creature's guidance, the glider began to swoop and spiral, finally crashing in the midst of an already burning patch of roof and a more explosive show of vigorous flame. Christy shot Ryan a grim look.
Never thought I'd see a sticky smart enough to try that.
Me neither. I guess Morgan wasn't blowing smoke up my ass about them seeming to act smarter in their recent attacks on the mall. That about right, Rollins?
Not that much to gliding, as I understand it. And the crafts are certainly portable enough. They break down, nothing but plastic, canvas, and some metal tubing. Fold them up, put them in a bag after you're done. Smart or not, the stoop's still dead. Didn't accomplish much more than being a pest.
Maybe not. But whoever sent that mutie up there hovering around knew his card would get slotted quick enough. Those gliders have some maneuverability, but they're not very fast. The mutie was able to get some good fires going while up there, but that could have been handled in a number of different ways.
You saying we were supposed to see that sticky?
It's a diversion. Need to get around the fires, closer to the edge of the roof. If I was planning on attacking from the top, I'd try and come up where the visibility was poorest. Like way over there behind those old aircon units.
So
hold on while I check it out.
Ryan ran as quietly as possible along the back of the rooftop's massive array of ancient and rusted air conditioning circulation pods, using their bulk to hide and protect his progress. There he found stickies near the edge of the rooftop, waving flaming torches. Already, more of the small fires were starting to burn. They also had weapons. The stickies were now armed with high-powered weapons, such as the one that had killed Maxwell. Stray rounds whined past and ricocheted off the thick metal units protecting Ryan. The stickies weren't aiming at him. They didn't even know he was there. They were wasting rounds, showing off, and enjoying the fires. Ryan knew his friends would also have heard the shots. The Sig Sauer in his hand, he ran in a crouch, stopping only to peer between individual units to make certain he wasn't seen. He crawled on top of the last unit, keeping himself as flat as a sheet of paper as he wiggled across carefully, inch by inch. He paused a second for line in sight before shooting the sticky through the top of the head. The silenced slug drove through the mutie's lopsided cranium, pureeing the rotten brain inside. The sticky's corpse collapsed onto the roof into a burning pyre. The smell of burning flesh was instantly recognizable in the night air. But Ryan wasn't waiting around to admire his handiwork. He was already rolling, firing his gun as he moved. The element of surprise was still with him. When the first sticky died, all eyes fell upon its death throes, but no one thought to look up. Gripping his right wrist with his left hand, Ryan braced himself against the kick of the powerful pistol as it spit death again and again. His aim no longer needed to be as precise as the first kill, so he took chest shots, the safest option against his now moving targets. Ryan's backup was close behind him, closer still when the first shot exploded in the burning night. Rollins and his second man slowed as he approached the scene.
Christ, Carter, you killed them all.
Yeah, don't fall all over yourself thanking me.
I've never seen anything like it. 9 stickies down by a single man.
A friend of mine once told me a running man with a sharp knife can slit 1,000 throats in a single night. As long as he's quiet about it.
Johnny, use the tank extinguisher. It should have a full charge. Put those fires out as fast as you can.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I still wish you would have left one alive for questioning, Carter. Dead muties can't talk.
Since when have you ever known a sticky to volunteer any information? Even if they knew anything, half the time the stoop...
Ryan forgot what he was saying at the sight of Christie's face tight with pain, her red hair coiling and uncoiling with anxiety.
I'm okay, Ryan. But we got major trouble.
What?
Bad. Very bad. I've got a mental picture of the roof of this mall, and it's bright red. All red.
What the fuck is she talking about?
Ryan could see confusion and fear in Rollins' face. He'd gone about his life expecting stickies to perform and act a certain way. Now that the patterns had changed, he was losing his grip. Ryan wasn't surprised. Most men would have done likewise when confronted with the abnormal. And there was nothing normal about the way these stickies were behaving.
I told you before, Rollins, she's a seer. She senses danger, bad things to come.
As red as blood, as red as fire.
Shut her up, Carter.
Why? Is she scaring you? Good.
We don't have time for crazy mutie talk.
We better make time. The shit's about to hit the fan. Go ahead, Rollins. Answer your radio. I don't think either one of us is gonna like what we hear.
What?
This is Jameson, sir, from the West Wing.
I got problems of my own, Jameson. Make it quick.
The stickies, sir. They're over here. The bastards are coming in from all sides. We shot down one in a hang glider, but not before he dropped a shitload of rope ladders and some kind of flaming napalm. We're boxed in, and more of them are crawling up the sides. Well, what are we gonna do?
The interior of Freedom Mall was a scene of mass chaos. Word about the mutie attack from all quarters had spread effortlessly through the storefronts and common areas of the mall, creating a panic where panic was the only foe to fight. And as the word spread and the fear grew, a planning flaw in the reconfiguration of the mall security setup was becoming painfully evident. The main entrance into the massive two-story construction was also the site of the primary exit, because all fire doors, loading docks, and the nearly 40 other former exit entrances into Freedom had been long since barricaded shut with concrete and stone, and chain and metal. As the masses tried to flee from terrors both real and imagined, the greed in men's hearts came bubbling up to the surface. Realizing that all of the available members of the Freedom Mall security staff were busy with the sticky onslaught, looters appeared in all of the stores and shops. Some of the establishments were closed for the night, others abandoned by their owners, who had fled into the mob attempting to escape. These were loudly ransacked. However, other store owners had no interest in leaving their staked territory. Any thieves entering these stores with stealing on their minds found proprietors hidden inside, armed and waiting for whatever threat might come bursting through their doors. Crazed human or crazier mutie, they didn't care. Try to infringe on what was theirs, and a person would be cut down in a hail of gunfire. At the multiplex, Doc, JB, and Mildred had learned of the crisis when the movie had been stopped in mid-reel. Mildred hadn't minded the interruption in the least. The humor of Dawn of the Dead was being totally lost on her, as well as on Doc, although JB seemed to be greatly enjoying himself. The angry audience had taken offense and was ready to lynch the projectionist until Boston from the box office came out with news of what was happening outside. Now the three friends were struggling to make their way through the teeming, panicked masses. The looting of the many mall business establishments had already begun. An unstoppable wave of shrieking lust for food, clothing, and best of all, material possessions.
By the three Kennedys! These ignorant fools are raiding their own hen houses! Can they not see they are assisting in the destruction of their own sanctuary?
They don't give a damn, Doc. They just don't care. I haven't seen the likes of this since the 1992 LA riots. Tomorrow, there might be some remorse mixed in with twinges of guilt, but tonight is wilding time. The time of unleashed collective id.
Don't quote Freud to me, Doctor. Sometimes a cigar is a cigar, and sometimes a pack of wolves is a pack of wolves.
Doc scowled as he used his sheathed sword stick to beat and jab a clear path through the milling mass of people. One massive man in torn leather spun at Doc and glowered.
Watch it! Poke me again and I'll jam that toothpick up your skinny ass!
Better men than you have tried, sir.